Good day, and welcome to the Essential Utilities Full Year 2022 Earnings Call. This meeting is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to hand the call over to Brian Dingerdissen. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Sergei. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Essential Utilities 2022 full year earnings call. I am Brian Dingerdissen, Vice President, Investor Relations and Treasurer at Essential. If you did not receive a copy of the press release, you can find it by visiting the investor relations section of our website at essential.co. The slides that we will be referencing in the webcast of this event can also be found on our website. As a reminder, some of the matters discussed during this call may include forward-looking statements that involve risk, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual results to be materially different any future results expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Please refer to our most recent 10-Q, 10-K, and other SEC filings for a description of such risk and uncertainties. During the course of this call, reference may be made to certain non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation of these non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures is included at the end of the presentation and also posted in the investor relations section of the company's website. Here is our agenda for the call today. We'll begin with Chris Franklin, our Chairman and CEO, who will discuss the highlights from 2022 and provide a company update. Next, Dan Schuller, Executive Vice President and CFO, will discuss our financial results. Lastly, Chris will provide an update on our acquisition program and conclude the presentation with a summary of our guidance before opening the call up for questions. With that, I will turn the call over to Chris Franklin.
Thank you, Brian, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Let's start out with some highlights from our 2022 year. Our focus on operational efficiency and infrastructure improvement and service-related priorities led us to another strong year, reporting earnings per share of $1.77, which is 6% better than last year and the midpoint of our 2022 guidance. It's also in line with our 5%-7% long-term guidance, despite macro challenges of inflation and rising interest rates, among others you all know about. Importantly, in the context of that, I want to point out that since I became CEO in 2015, my team and I have always met the guidance we provided to the street. We take pride in our accuracy. In 2022, we invested over $1.06 billion in infrastructure improvements as compared to $1.02 billion in 2021. Our commitment to investing in critical infrastructure across our footprint has led to the replacement, retirement, and installation of over 430 miles of pipeline just last year throughout our water, wastewater, and natural gas systems. These investments, along with our municipal acquisitions, led to rate base growth of 7.9%. Our municipal acquisition strategy continues to provide consistent and steady growth opportunities. In 2022, we closed three acquisitions, adding approximately $120 million of rate base and over 23,000 new customers. These three acquisitions, coupled with strong organic growth, led to customer growth of 2.7% for the regulated water segment. Currently, we have asset purchase agreements signed for nine municipal acquisitions, totaling nearly $380 million in purchase price. The success of our growth strategy has allowed us to report over $1 billion in revenues from our regulated water segment for the first time last year. I also want to take a moment to thank our employees who have diligently worked through the installation of SAP in our water utility over the last year. You may recall that our gas company already had SAP, and we completed the conversion of our financials and expect a clean audit opinion, which, if you're familiar with how this works, you know the complication of installing SAP is quite an accomplishment. We're very proud of it. These installations are difficult and time-consuming, and we wouldn't be here if it were not for the efforts of so many patient and hardworking at the company. Finally, I think it's important to mention the work our natural gas teams did during Winter Storm Elliott. In late December, just before Christmas, our teams worked through extremely cold weather to keep our customers' natural gas flowing so that their homes would remain warm. Our people worked long hours and right through Christmas Eve, doing an unbelievable job for our customers under those extreme conditions. A real tribute to the folks working at our natural gas company. So let's move on to the next slide and talk a little about ESG in 2022. Earlier this year, we reaffirmed our ESG commitments, and I'm proud to report that as of year-end 2022, the company made really some progress. Extensive gas pipeline replacement, renewable energy purchases, accelerated methane leak detection and repair, and among many other initiatives, have led us to a substantial reduction of our Scope 1 and Scope 2 greenhouse gas emissions. As of the end of the year, we are estimating a 23% reduction in emissions from our 2019 baseline, and we remain on track toward our commitment of 60% reduction by 2035. In the fall of 2023, we're going to again publish a fully refreshed ESG report on our website, and it was award-winning last time we did it. Keep an eye out for it. It's always a good read. We also reaffirmed our industry-leading multi-year plan to ensure that our finished water does not exceed 13 parts per trillion of PFOA, PFOS, across all the states served by our regulated water segment. While we continue to wait for the EPA to issue their MCL, or maximum contaminant level, it's worth noting that two of the states in which we have water options have already enacted their own thresholds. Pennsylvania, where nearly 50% of our water customers are located, has set limits of 18 parts per trillion for PFAS and 14 parts per trillion for PFOA. And New Jersey has set limits at 14 parts per trillion for PFAS and 13 parts per trillion for PFOA and PFA. Our commitment is at or below each of these. Now, regarding our employee and supplier diversity commitments, we ended 2022 with people of color representing 16% of our work towards our multi-year target of 17%. We're also pleased to report that we exceeded our supplier diversity target of 15% in 2022 and continue to work to ensure we are aligning the makeup of our workforce and the spending on goods and services with the makeup of our customer base. I'll remind you that we've been one of the leaders when it comes to connecting these metrics to incentive compensation. Finally, we received a number of notable ESG awards and recognitions throughout 2022, including being renamed to Newsweek's America's Most Responsible Companies list, renamed to 3BL Media's Best Corporate Citizens list, and renamed as Champion of Board Diversity by the Forum of Executive Women. We were recognized as a 3-plus company by 50-50 Women on Boards, highlighting the diversity of our board, and we were also named Business of the Year by the Delaware County Chamber of Commerce. Now, in addition to these recognitions, we've continued to make strong advances in our ESG ratings. Upgrades from MSCI, Sustainalytics, CDP, and ISS have placed Essential as an industry leader and at or near the top of our proxy peer group in 2022. Folks, this is work that we are very proud of and plan to continue. Now with that, let me hand it over to Dan to discuss our financial results. Dan?
Thanks, Chris, and good morning, everyone. Let's take a few minutes to review the fourth quarter highlights before moving into the full year, where we'll spend most of our time this morning. We ended the quarter with revenues of $705.4 million, up 31.7% compared to the fourth quarter of last year. Our regulated water segment contributed $273.1 million, and our regulated natural gas segment contributed $411.5 million, with the balance coming from our limited, non-regulated operations. Higher natural gas commodity prices continued through the fourth quarter, and therefore purchased gas costs increased by $109.4 million year over year. O&M expenses increased to $184.7 million for the quarter, up from $158.6 million in the fourth quarter of last year. Maintenance expenses, recoverable costs related to our natural gas segment customer assistance program, higher water production costs, bad debt, and employee-related costs were the main drivers for the quarter. Net income was down year-over-year from $116.5 million to $114.9 million, and GAAP EPS was 44 cents for the quarter, in line with the prior year. Next, we'll discuss the full-year financial highlights. We ended the year with $2.29 billion in revenue, up 21.8% from last year. For the year, our regulated water segment contributed $1.08 billion, and our regulated natural gas segment contributed $1.14 billion. This is the first year that the growth of the company pushed water segment revenue above $1 billion, which really is something to celebrate. Purchased gas costs increased by $261.7 million, or 76.9% compared to prior year. O&M expenses increased 11.5% to $613.6 million. Operating income was up 9.7% to $661.2 million. And year-over-year net income increased $33.6 million, or 7.8%, from $431.6 million to $465.2 million. And GAAP EPS increased 6% to $1.77, which was in the middle of our $1.75 to $1.80 guidance range for the year. Next, let's walk through the full year waterfalls, beginning with revenue. As you can see, we had a very strong year revenue-wise. In 2022, revenues increased $409.9 million, or 21.8% on a GAAP basis. You'll notice that the purchased gas was the largest driver, contributing $261.7 million of the overall increase. This was due to a significant increase in natural gas commodity prices, which we've been reporting throughout the year. Fortunately, though, gas prices have eased in recent months. Regulatory recoveries from our regulated water and natural gas segments added a combined $81.1 million. Over $63 million of this is attributed to water, given recent rate case activity. The portion related to gas is mostly due to increased surcharges for our customer assistance program, which has a one-to-one offset in our O&M expenses. Increased volumes from our regulated natural gas segment contributed $26 million, and you'll recall that weather has a very direct impact on gas consumption, which we see in that $20 million. And so we closely monitor the heating degree days as an indicator. 2022 weather in the Pittsburgh area was 3.9% colder than normal, resulting in 5,648 total heating degree days compared to 5,139 heating degree days in 2021. And in 2022, over 80% of the gas was consumed during the heating season, meaning during the first and fourth quarters of the year. Moving on, combined growth and increased volumes from our regulated water segment contributed an additional $36.5 million. And finally, other provided $4.6 million, the overall revenue increase. Next, let's move on to the O&M expenses. Operations and maintenance expenses were $613.6 million for the year, compared to $550.6 million in 2021. Other items contributed $20 million to the increase, and much of this was related to inflation-related increases and lower capitalization in outside services and material supplies, as well as higher insurance expenses, offset by higher capitalization in the gas segment. Employee-related costs added $17.1 million, which included regular merit increases, targeted market adjustments, an expense for one-time inflation payments for non-officer-level employees, as well as benefits. The gas customer assistance program expenses, which are recoverable through a revenue surcharge, increased $12.8 million. and expenses related to newly acquired water and wastewater customers added $6.9 million, and increased production costs in our regulated water segment added an additional $6.3 million. We continue to see year-on-year increases in production costs, with the largest inflation-related increases for chemicals and sludge handling and hauling. Next, we'll spend a minute on the earnings per share waterfall. Beginning on the left side of the slide with 2021 GAAP EPS of $1.67, regulatory recoveries contributed nearly 22 cents, and increased volume from our regulated natural gas segment added 7 cents. Combined, the increased volume and growth from our regulated water segment added another 8 cents. These were offset by 14.5 cents of other items, which included increased depreciation, interest, and taxes other than income taxes, as well as 12.6 cents of expenses. The result is a GAAP EPS of $1.77 for the year. Moving on to regulatory activity and other matters, in 2022, we completed rate cases or surcharge filings in our regulated water segment in Illinois, North Carolina, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, and we completed a rate case in our regulated natural gas segment in Kentucky for a combined total annualized revenue increase of approximately $88.8 million. So far in 2023, we completed rate cases or surcharge filings in three of our regulated water states with total annualized revenue increase of $3.6 million. Also, we currently have base rate cases or surcharge filings underway in North Carolina, Ohio, Texas, and Virginia for our regulated water segment, and in Kentucky for our regulated natural gas segment. Finally, I wanted to provide an update on the equity ATM program established in October. This program gives us a mechanism to issue equity over time as we continue to deploy a significant amount of capital to grow the business through both small acquisitions and capital expenditures. As of December 31st, 2022, we had issued approximately 1.32 million shares, and in January, we issued an additional 399,000 shares for a total of $82.3 million net of expenses. As we indicated in the slide deck when we announced guidance in January, we expect to raise approximately $400 to $500 million in equity or equity-linked securities over the next 18 months to maintain our credit metrics while we invest capital and close municipal acquisitions. We continue to evaluate how to most efficiently execute this capital raise, and the exact amount and timing is dependent on acquisition closings and other factors. And with that, I'll hand it back over to Chris to discuss acquisition growth and our 2023 guidance.
Great. Thanks, Dan. And let's talk a little bit about the municipal transaction activity first. You'll notice on the left-hand side of this slide that municipal growth through acquisition has been a long and successful base component of our growth through acquisition strategy, which complements our continued investment in infrastructure in our existing business. Just since 2015, we've added nearly 118,000 customer equivalents and nearly $500 million in rate base to our water footprint through acquisitions. Most recently, we announced the closing of the Oak Brook Water System acquisition in Illinois, which serves approximately 4,000 customer equivalents. Including Oak Brook, we closed three acquisitions in 22, which added over 23,000 customer equivalents and approximately $100 million in rate base to our company. Combined with organic growth, the company increased its regulated water customer base by 2.7%. On the next slide here, as of this call, we have 8 signed asset purchase agreements for 9 systems across 4 states. All of these are in states where we currently do business. These acquisitions will add nearly 219,000 customers or customer equivalents and total nearly $380 million in purchase price. Now, let's take a minute and talk about the status of DELCORA. On our last call, you'll recall that we provided the PUC procedural schedule and our expectations of closing this acquisition in the first of 2023. Based on the most recent legal and regulatory actions, a mid-year closing is now unlikely. We now expect to close toward the end of this year, and we continue to be confident that we will close the DELCORA transaction and also continue to believe that there is a path forward in settlement that works for all the parties. All right. On the next slide, in addition to the signed municipal transactions on the previous slide, our pipeline of opportunities for growth remains strong and healthy. Currently, we're engaged in active discussions with municipalities and pursuing over 400,000 potential water and wastewater customers, as illustrated on this slide. Our in-state teams continue to focus on potential acquisitions that have at least 2,500 to 25,000 customers. We believe our strong value proposition, including our ability to pay a competitive purchase price, our technical and operational expertise, our commitment to spend the capital to make improvements, and our long-term commitment to the communities we serve, all together make a compelling case to municipal governments who are considering their options. We will continue to focus on growth in all 8 states where we have water utilities and fair market value statutes are in place. Now, in 2022, we, like so many other companies, were faced with rising interest rates, inflation, supply chain challenges. However, the ability of our people to overcome these challenges and focus on integration, growth, and operational excellence provided us the opportunity to report such strong results for the year. As we look at 2023, we remain committed to the pillars and priorities that ensure the safety, quality, and reliability our customers, employees, and shareholders have come to expect. Now, for those of you who have followed us, you know that throughout our history, we have continuously reviewed our portfolio of assets and their contributions. As a result of our most recent review, last year we decided to sell our West Virginia natural gas assets, and we announced that sale early last month. We believe that this decision will be beneficial to the 13,000 West Virginia customers because it will provide rate stability, term rate stability, and an opportunity for them to benefit from economies of scale in West Virginia. We were very small there, as you know. The completion of this transaction will also eliminate the outsized or oversized draw of management attention that our West Virginia operations required. All right, now before we walk through our 2023 guidance, I want to provide clarity on how we're thinking about the impacts of both weather and our acquisition program on the guidance we provided you last month. Dan mentioned earlier in the call that colder than normal weather in 2022 had a favorable impact on revenues. And while it's very early in the year and we still have another month left in the first quarter, year-to-date 2023 weather for the region where our natural gas segment is located has been approximately 20% warmer than normal. This will likely be a topic for our next earnings call for first quarter, but as a reminder, the fourth quarter has a significant impact on usage as well, so it's far too early to determine the weather impact on our results for the year. Regarding our acquisition program, you may recall that DELCORA was included in the guidance we provided for 2023. But I want to point out that we do not believe that a delay in the closing of DELCORA alone would cause us to fall outside our existing EPS guidance range for 2023. So we'll continue to monitor the impacts of weather and acquisitions, but we remain confident in 2023 guidance we released last month. So I'll wrap up the call by reviewing that guidance. We expect earnings to be between $1.85 and $1.90 per share. We're confident in the three-year earnings per share growth of 5 to 7% through 2025. And we'll be investing approximately $1.1 billion annually on regulated infrastructure, which is an increase of about $100 million annually over last year's plan. We continue to expect rate-based growth will be between 6 and 7% for water and between 8 and 10% for natural gas. And the growth will be between 2 and 3% for water and stable for natural gas, other than obviously the sale of our West Virginia properties, as I just mentioned. So in closing, I want to mention that I believe the management team at Essential Utilities is among the best in the industry. Our team continues to on an already industry-leading operational excellence while continuously integrating acquired customers nearly seamlessly, and all despite the numerous challenges, you know, once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, unprecedented inflation, soaring interest rates, and the installation of a major system, SAP. This team led all of this while meeting or exceeding the standards that our stakeholders expect. And I would say a truly amazing 2022. You know, it's incredible to reflect on the dramatic growth the company has experienced over the past 7.5 years. In 2015, when the current leadership team came together, our revenues were about $814 million. And now in 2022, just our regulated water segment revenue was over $1 billion for the first time. Our annual CapEx has grown from nearly $365 million to now over $1 billion a year in that same time. All of this could not have been possible without the dedicated team of over 3,200 professionals that I am really incredibly proud to work with every day. So on that note, I'm going to conclude our formal remarks and open the call up for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Now, the first question comes from Ryan from North Coast Research. Please go ahead.
Hey, Ryan.
Morning, Ryan.
Question. A couple housekeeping on the financials and then a big picture question for Chris. But, Dan, in the waterfall, you mentioned the $17 million headwind from employee-related costs. Obviously, that's not shocking given the inflation and so forth. But do you expect that run rate of an increase to kind of moderate in 23 and 24? Is that kind of a one-time jump, or should we continue to expect, you know, elevated inflation at that level?
So Ryan, I think that will moderate in 2023 and 2024. There are a few things in there, like one that I noted in the script was that we did in 2022 an inflation-related payment for our broad employee base, so think non-officer level. So that was something we did in 2022, which we would not expect to do in 2023. We also did some select market adjustments compensation-wise that I think at this point we feel we've got those market adjustments behind us. So we would expect that to moderate to, you know, more normal sort of merit increases and increases in benefit costs going forward.
Okay. And do you give us, are you able to disclose a specific amount on that one-time kind of inflation payment or no?
Yeah. So what we did there, Ryan, is it's called $3 million, kind of $1,000 across an employee base of 3,000 people.
Okay.
So that's the rough number on that. And it was just that, Ryan, as we thought about what employees were paying for, you know, groceries at the grocery store, gas at the gas pump last year, we just thought this was something that the company was able to do to help our employees out, help ease that burden a little bit.
Got it. Okay. The other one was on interest expense. Obviously, it was a jump, which isn't surprising given where rates have been and are headed. But anything we should be aware of there in terms of variable rate aspects going forward? And also, is that all kind of pass through, or are there certain parent company things related to Peoples or otherwise that maybe aren't as quick of a pass through?
The way I would think of that, Ryan, is the only place we have variable rate debt really is our revolving credit facilities. And so we've got the essential revolver, and we've got revolvers at the bigger subsidiaries. Gas side, we use it for gas purchase costs. But that's where we're seeing a pickup in financing costs. If you think of a year ago, we were LIBOR-based, and LIBOR was, we could pick a number, 25 basis points or something quite low. And this year it's SOFR-based only because of the change. But think of that SOFR as above 4%. So significant increase in the borrowing cost for anything that sits on that revolving credit facility. So that leads us to think about, how do we think about to terming that facility out, right, in 2023, just like we tend to do every year. The rest of our debt tends to be long-range fixed-rate debt, classic sort of utility financing.
Got it. Okay. And then just my bigger picture question was, we've heard so much about, affordability and becoming a bigger issue, especially on the water side of the past. And one of the things, I guess, that seems to be emerging is these staggered multi-year rate increases. Instead of getting the rate increase all in right away, get it over several years. It looks like that's the way your request in North Carolina is, in fact, structured. Is that something you expect, we should expect to start seeing, more across the board, or is that North Carolina more of a one-off?
So North Carolina, there was a change a couple years ago that allows for this multi-year rate making. And so this is the first time that we're in after change that we're taking advantage of that new construct. Pennsylvania allows for an alternative rate making, which one could, a company could propose a multi-year. It hasn't been used to any great. We saw one water case where that was proposed. But I think, by and large, all of our other states are effectively one increase based either on a historic test year or future or, fully projected future test years. But those are the only two places I would say we have any ability to think multi-year at this point.
Ryan, I would say, though, that you're right to ask about affordability. It is currently, a theme not only across the utility space at NARUC and everything else, but it's even a theme in our boardroom. We're very focused on affordability for our customers, and it's why we were the first to get out there with our universal service program in Pennsylvania. It's why we continue to focus on affordability in all of our states. We think about grants for some of our PFAS, PFOA mitigation work we're doing, which obviously then is passed directly on to only ratepayers, customers, not shareholders. So big focus on affordability in the industry, and I think that'll remain true. These are tough economic times generally, and I think especially for those that maybe have a little less, this is an important topic. So you'll see regulatory themes and probably different schemes, I should say, that companies will try all at the attempt of being continually more affordable.
Got it. Thanks for your time.
You bet.
Yep. Thanks, Ryan.
And our next question comes from Travis Miller from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, Travis.
Good morning, Travis.
A quick question in terms of, I think, a follow-up, really, to what you just answered. That when you take the surcharge and annual rate adjustments versus base rate cases, how do you think about that balance currently, and what do you think about in terms of the cadence for the base rate cases? Does that make sense? So get an idea of annual versus kind of whatever your run rate, think on the base case.
The recoverability varies a little bit state by state, but the mix in states like Pennsylvania is pretty good. Dan, you know the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, as we think about it, it depends state by state. You know, we have different DSIC or SIC structures. Pennsylvania for water increased rates up to 7.5% between rate cases based on the DSIC. I think the Illinois model's 4.5% in any sort of two-year period. North Carolina has one. But I think, Travis, maybe to get to kind of what your question is here, as we think about, say, Pennsylvania, between what we have in the DSIC and what we propose in a rate case and expect to achieve in that rate case, we're thinking on the order of 5% per year. But that's a combination. And what that could mean is, you know, we run a rate case every 3 years, or we could shorten that cadence a little bit to something shorter. But think in terms of that 5% per year in total over a rate case period.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. No, that's what I was asking. So, okay, great. And then higher level question, municipal growth. It seems like when you have the puts and takes over the last few quarters, you've been excluding Alcora somewhere in the 100,000, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the number is wrong, but 100,000 or so run rate of pipeline. What's the macro environment look like? Is there something that's either holding back the pipeline over the last few quarters and then it could accelerate, or is this kind of a run rate pipeline that you'd expect?
Yeah, I think, you know, the pipeline is strong. We talked about 400,000 customers in our pipeline, so that piece of it's strong, but it's chunky, and it always has been chunky. In other words, you know, we'll have a big year and then a little slower one, and at all. There's so many factors, Travis, that go into it, you know, everything from local politics to macro economics, interest rates and other drivers. But I would say the activity, the discussions that we're having currently are really encouraging, and we're generally very optimistic about not only the near term but the long term in terms of municipal privatization.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. I appreciate the thought.
You bet.
Take care, Travis.
The next question comes from Greg Orrill from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. I was just wondering if you could speak to the stay order on Delcora review in Pennsylvania. What's the process and outlook there? Thanks.
Yeah, sure. So just for clarity, there are two stays that we talk about that are in play here. The one stay is really regarding the Chester City bankruptcy. Remember, Delcora serves the city of Chester, and so in 1973, Chester City, basically contributed or sold their assets to Delcora, and they have reversionary right. So currently the bankruptcy has an automatic stay on the Delcora proceeding. Now, today we're in court with the bankruptcy court trying to get relief from that automatic stay. So that's one stay. Hopefully we'll see some reaction from the judge. Usually bankruptcy courts move pretty quickly, so who knows, that may be a fairly quick answer from the judge there. The second stay is from the administrative law judge at the Public Utility Commission. And so that stay is based on what the county has, or the Delcora has filed in terms of a municipal court case in Delaware County for seeking clarification on two items. Now, at the ALJ stay, we have the ability to file an interlocutory action, which basically asks the five commissioners then to vote to uphold the stay or relieve the stay. And so we are currently thinking about our options. Clearly, we want to see first how the bankruptcy court goes today, and then we'll look from there. But those are the two stays that are in place. And I know there's a lot of moving parts, but that's hopefully clear to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it.
And our next question comes from Davis Sunderland from Baird. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Congrats on another good quarter, and thanks for taking my question.
You bet.
Thank you.
Just wanted to ask quickly about your guys' guidance for capital investments, increase of an extra $100 million per year. Do we think about this as an acceleration to your previous growth plan or part of it being related to inflationary pressures? And then I guess follow-up to that would just be anything you're seeing on supply chain difficulties with investment. Thank you.
You want to take the supply chain one first, Dan?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the supply chain, I would say that, you know, throughout the kind of pandemic and post-pandemic period where there have been supply chain constraints, we've generally been able to obtain things that we need, some items, larger diameter things, larger diameter pipes, larger diameter valves and fittings and such have been more delayed. And so, you know, we've had to plan ahead on projects like that. The one place we continue to see some delays is things that are related where we have microchips. So specifically with ERTs related to our meters, that we've got some supply chain constraints there. We're starting to see that open up a bit, but you know, there've been some challenges, but nothing that we've not been able to work through during these last couple years there.
Yep.
And then I guess if we think about the change from kind of $1 billion a year to $1.1 billion a year on average, you're seeing the opportunity to continue to invest capital and thus increase that rate a bit. But to your point, you know, capital costs are up, so that's factored into that total dollar objective as well.
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, even the cost of pipe is almost double over the last year or so. And so, you know, conceptually you get less done. We're trying to be as efficient as we possibly can, but you get less done for the same dollar. And so, you know, I would not consider this in the category of an acceleration, but more as we continue to identify capital opportunities, we're working through those. And then, of course, we're trying to stay pace with the needs, the infrastructure needs, especially our pipe replacement needs, both in water and in natural gas. And those don't go away despite the price increases.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Yep, thank you.
And as a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one. Our next question comes from Jonathan Reed from Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey,
good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
How are you guys doing this morning?
All good?
Well, thanks.
Good. Good. Hey, I appreciate the so far on Delcor. Can you just indicate whether your expectations for a close now towards year end, do those rely on, you know, the ability reach this potential settlement, or is that schedule, you know, kind of more based on the latest legal challenges playing out, the stay getting, you know, addressed, and a fully litigated process resuming at the Public Utilities Commission?
Yeah, I would say probably a combination, Jonathan. I mean, here's how we think about it. We're still going to have to go through a full PUC process, right? We were expected to have evidentiary hearings in February, the 14th and 15th, I think, were the original dates. Those are now pushed off. We'll still need to go through those once the stay is lifted. And so, while, you know, whether you call it a fully litigated or but I would say it will be continue to be a full process. Certainly a settlement, if we could reach one, then relieves the any opportunity for additional delays and appeals. And so that's why I think about a settlement is is optimal for closing this year. You know, I don't want to mischaracterize those discussions, but I would say they're constructive conversations and ongoing conversations, and I remain optimistic about a settlement.
Okay, so conversations are still occurring. You think they are constructive and, you know, still hopeful to get there? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and then second question, you opened the call noting how the team has always delivered on the guidance ranges and, you know, made the comments later with respect to the year-to-date weather headwind and, you know, obviously the delay in Delcora. Do you have other levers that you can pull and perhaps, you know, plan to pull if needed to offset the weather impact? I mean, I know Essential has a, you know, reputation of running a pretty lean ship already, you know, but, you know, might there be some temporary cost offsets that you could implement, you know, later in 23 if needed?
Yeah, I think the short answer is yes.
Yeah, probably some things, Ryan, is that, you know, we're evaluating now. I mean, Jonathan, sorry. So we're evaluating now that, you know, we may be able to say more about it progresses here. But certainly, you know, we've always, to your point, had a strong cost culture, and we're really encouraging that today as people look at expenses. Sort of the idea of think before you spend. Do I need this? What is the quantity I really need? What do I have the optimal price, et cetera? So ensuring that that remains a strong part of our culture really is critical here in 2023.
Right, right. Okay, great. No, I mean, it's hard to control the weather. So, you know, good luck offsetting that if need be, and looking forward to hopefully Delcora can move forward. So thanks for taking my questions.
All right.
Take care, Jonathan.
Thank you. And we have a follow-up question from Ryan for North Coast Research. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, Ryan.
Just a quick follow-up, if I could. Yeah, thanks, Chris. Just on, you know, thanks for all the updates on Delcora, but given that we're talking about it in the context of the bankruptcy proceeding, Chester itself, any can you update us how we should think about you know, Chester Water Authority and how that's, whether the chance that that reemerges as we go move through the bankruptcy proceeding and how they choose to solve their fiscal issues?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, it would all just be speculation at this point, Ryan, but I mean, my two cents is that there's no other option. They don't have another asset. The debt is deep, short of a massive bailout from the state or federal government. The only option they have, including restructuring, is to sell that asset. Now, you know, it's still tied up. Remember, even if the receiver says sell that asset, there's still a Supreme Court decision that then would have to be move ahead, and the final determination that the city, in fact, owns that asset. So I would say that that is not a front burner issue for today for us. We see some other exciting things, but you know, we'll continue to be engaged there, and certainly as Delcora progresses and we become a utility in the city, we'll have great interest in making that that all work together and improving the conditions inside the city.
That's helpful, caller. Thanks again.
You bet.
Thank you. As there are no further questions in the queue, I'd like to hand the call back over to Christopher Franklin for some closing remarks. Over to you, Chris.
Thank you all for your time and for joining us today. Obviously, we're always available for follow-up questions. Brian, Dan, and I are available anytime. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.